Good morning and welcome to this online celebration of Holy Communion on this eighth Sunday after Trinity. Whoever you are and wherever you come from, we welcome you. Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Jesus said, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." Hymn 335. Jesus calls us here to meet him. Almighty God,
to whom
all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us
and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord, and blessed are those who observe and keep your law. Help us to seek you with our whole heart and delight in your commandments and to walk in the glorious liberty given us by your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the book Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him in the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved. The sun rose upon him as he passed Penuel, limping because of his hip. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed for this morning, number 17, which we shall say by alternate division of verses. Hear my just cause, O Lord. Consider my complaint.
Listen to my prayer, which comes not from lying lips.
Let my vindication come forth from your presence.
Let your eyes behold what is right.
Weigh my heart. Examine me by night.
Refine me, and you will find no impurity in me.
My mouth does not trespass for earthly rewards.
I have heeded the words of your lips.
My footsteps hold fast in the ways of your commandments.
My feet have not stumbled in your paths.
I call upon you, O God, for you will answer me.
Incline your ear to me and listen to my words.
Show me your marvelous loving kindness.
O Saviour of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them.
As for me, I shall see your face in righteousness.
When I awake and behold your likeness, I shall be satisfied.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites. Unto them belong the adoption, the glory, the conveyance, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed for ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
From Thanks and Praise, the gradual hymn number 1. A rich young man came seeking, God's kingdom was his aim. A rich young man came seeking, God's kingdom was his aim. The law had been his guidebook, his life was free from blame. But Jesus asked the courage to give his wealth away. The young man turned in sorrow, that price he would not pay. The rich man's gifts were lavish and made for public show. The widow's gift was humble, and only God would know. In giving to the temple, although her coins were small, her gift had so much meaning, because she gave her all. One boy brought loaves and fishes, no other food was there, But Jesus fed the thousands and still had bread to spare. The miracle of plenty soon spread beyond that place. That simple gift was offered, then multiplied by grace. Lord, keep our care for money from turning into greed. Help us to use it wisely to meet each other's need. For whether poor or wealthy, we have so much to share. And open-hearted giving will show your loving care. Hear the Gospel of our Savior Christ according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But the crowds heard it, and they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Grant, O God, that through the written word and through the spoken word we may behold the living word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the past several Sundays, our Gospel readings have been focused on Jesus' parables as recorded by St. Matthew. First, there was the parable of the sower, then the parable of the weeds and wheat, and last week, a whole panoply of parables: the mustard seed, the yeast, the pearl. Jesus used these parables to teach his followers about his vision of the kingdom of God. He begins each parable by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then proceeds to spin a short, simple tale filled with memorable characters and striking action. At least these tales seem short and simple on the surface, but they hold hidden depths of meaning. That's the way metaphors work. They reveal hidden truths by extending what we know. A woman baking bread, for example, into something we don't know yet. They expand our understanding by using the known to show us the unknown. Jesus was a master of this style, and parables make up approximately one-third of his teaching in the New Testament. Teaching by parables is as cogent and powerful today as it was in the first century. We still use metaphors and similes on a daily basis to explain the world, to enliven our speech, and to help us grow in learning from what we know into what we don't know. But in today's gospel reading, we turn from parable to miracle with St. Matthew's version of the feeding of the 5,000. Miracles, for better or worse, are perhaps somewhat less convincing to the modern mind than parables are. On this side of the Enlightenment, we know that people do not walk on water. Water doesn't dramatically turn into wine, and that 5 loaves of bread will never be enough to feed 5,000 people. Sometimes these stories seem childish at best, foolish at worst, mere wish fulfillment, disconnected from reality, a ploy even to entrance and manipulate the gullible. Still, miracle stories were common in the ancient world, within Christianity and beyond. Telling and retelling stories of Jesus' miracles was an important way in which Jesus' early followers remembered and honored him, and how they tried to share his good news with others. And the story we heard today, the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes, was perhaps the most important miracle of all. It is the only miracle included in all of the Gospels. Matthew and Mark like the story so much, in fact, that they each tell it twice with slight variations. In one version, Jesus feeds 5,000 people, and in the other, 4,000. That means this story is told 6 times in the Gospels, and there are only 4 Gospels. Perhaps there's more going on in this story than an entertaining fairy tale. Each version presents the same dilemma. Crowds have followed Jesus out to a deserted place to hear him teach. When evening comes, it becomes clear that people haven't come prepared. There's not enough food. The disciples only have a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish, and the people are hungry. The disciples don't know what to do. In some versions, as in St. Matthew today, they suggest that Jesus should send people away to fend for themselves in the nearby villages. In other versions, again, as in Matthew today, Jesus turns to the disciples and tells them, "You give them something to eat. You give them something to eat," is the heart of this miracle. Jesus is saying these words to us today just as clearly as he said them to his disciples on the deserted shores of the far side of the Sea of Galilee all those centuries ago. There is a hungry world out there, and it is our responsibility, our duty, to feed them. This hunger is both spiritual and physical, and although it may look like there's not enough bread to go around, the miracle we recounted today teaches us that, in fact, if we open our eyes, we will see that there is enough, that God has already provided enough bread to feed every last person on earth. It just depends on how we divide it up. Biblical scholar John Dominic Crossan argues in his book, The Power of Parable, that the miracle stories in the Gospels are really parables in disguise. Miracles are parables told about Jesus and should be understood in a similar way to and taken as seriously as the parables of Jesus. The miracle we heard today may seem simple on the surface. Jesus is able to dramatically multiply bread and fish. But push a little deeper, and it's really a parable about how we see the world. Is there enough to go around or not? What does it mean to share this world God has given us? What type of people are we going to be? Those who share or those who hoard? Both Matthew and Mark drive home this point by providing a prelude to the miracle story. In both Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000 is directly preceded by the story of Herod beheading John the Baptist. The connection between these two stories might not be immediately clear, but here is how Mark and Matthew tell it. John has been in prison for some time for accusing Herod of adultery with Herodias, his brother's wife. Herod throws a feast for his birthday, inviting his rich and powerful friends. Herodias' daughter dances before Herod at the feast, which pleases him, and he tells her she can have whatever she wants in return. She asks for John the Baptist's head on a platter, and Herod obliges her. Herod's feast is exclusive, a private gala, if you like, for the rich and the powerful, and leads to death. Jesus' feast is inclusive, like a community picnic for the poor and the oppressed, and leads to life. Which party would you like to attend? As often as we celebrate the Holy Communion, we reenact Jesus' picnic on the lakeshore. Just like on that day, Jesus takes our bread, blesses it, breaks it, and shares it with all who are hungry. And he is calling us to do the same with our lives. Take the blessings God has given, break them open, and share them with others. Jesus is calling us today. Come to the party where no one goes hungry, where there is bread and joy and life for all. Amen. We believe in one God.
We believe in one God.
The Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, we give thanks for the grace that always exceeds what we can hope or ask for. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We pray for this group of parishes and also the parish of Marilyn and the rector, the Reverend Simon Janot, and the curate assistant, the Reverend Carlton Baxter. We pray for John, our Archbishop and Metropolitan, and the other church leaders. Grant them your daily help and build us up in faith and love. As we are fed by word and sacrament, make us strong in your service. Guide us and direct us in the preparations we will be making to safely return to Sunday services in our church buildings. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of creation, feed the spiritual hunger of the world where many are lost in desert places, far from their true home. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, Brandon Lewis, and the government, the First Minister, Arlene Foster, Deputy First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, and the Executive. Also, President Michael D. Higgins, the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, Tánaiste, Leo Varadkar, and the government in the Republic. Come to those who know you only partially and bring them into perfect light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of our relationships, show us the way to relieve the needs that lie close to us. Shield our families from the assaults and fear of COVID-19. We continue to pray for those who are living in fear of illness, fear for loved ones, fear of others' reaction to them. If we are ill, strengthen us. If we are tired, fortify our spirits. If we are anxious, help us to consider the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Help us not to stockpile treasures from supermarkets in the barns of our larders. May fear not cause us to overlook the needs of others more comfortable than ourselves. Take our small offerings and make them great in your service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all healing, may the compassion of Christ still prevail to heal the sick and feed the hungry through the divine love that never fails. Give skill, sympathy, and resilience to all who are caring for the sick, and your wisdom in searching for a cure. We pray for all who are bereaved and grant them the assurance of your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant refreshment, light, and peace to all who no longer need the bread of this world. Receive them into their eternal home. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume.
We do not presume.
To come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Hymn 418. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face.
Thank you.
Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us.
He opened wide his arms upon the cross,
and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus,
we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Dying,
you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
As we eat and drink these holy gifts,
make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, for ever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen.
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 Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith, with thanksgiving. Strengthen for service, Lord, the hands that holy things have taken. May the ears which have heard your word be deaf to clamor and dispute. May the tongues which have sung your praise be free from deceit. May the eyes which have seen the tokens of your love shine with the light of hope. And may the bodies which have been fed with your body be refreshed with the fullness of your life. Glory to you forever. Amen.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Hymn 647, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Oh.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ, amen.
We thank you for being part of this service. Our next online service will be on next Sunday at 10 o'clock. It will be the ninth Sunday after Trinity, and we will follow the order of morning prayer. Thank you.